Oztober.
Come on, Australia.
A whole month eating solidly from the buffet that is Australian music. Celebrating the songs that made it famous and the artists that made it legendary.
You.
Serving up another plate of Aussie music. The Screaming Jets, Dave Gleeson.
Hi.
The Oztober Lunch.
We are celebrating all things Aussie music during the October. This is the Oztober Lunch with Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets and the Angels. My name's Matty O, drummer from British India. Gleeso, good to see you again, man.
You too, mate. You know what? During this next month or so, I'm going to interview you about British India, all right? Because you are a part of the new Australian rock landscape, and I really want to hear more about what you've been doing and what you're up to in the coming times.
Mate, hearing your stories, though, I've got literally nothing that can match your stories. I tell you what, man.
All I've got's me stories. That's all I've got. Oh, yeah. I was going to write a book, you know.
You should, man. You definitely should.
Yeah, well, I wrote two chapters. I showed them to my wife and she said, you can't put that out. And
no,
I said,
no,
why
that's
not?
More reason to put it out, man. That's what people want to hear.
She said the reason is because the kids can read. And I said, well, maybe I'll wait till I'm 60. Barnsley didn't bring out his till he was 60.
Exactly.
And then your kids are old enough to process it themselves. So
exactly,
maybe
man.
We'll do that and I can tell some of the more dirty stories from the days gone by.
Hey, we've got a big show today, as always. We've got a very special guest. We've got Mark Gable coming in.
Yeah, mate. Look, Mark Gable and the Choir Boys were one of the first big bands that the Jets ever supported.
Great.
And so we're going to be hearing from him. They're still powering on, still touring this great brown land, and it's great to have him on the show.
Oztober.
This is the Oztober Lunch with Screaming Jets and Angels frontman Dave Gleeson. My name's Matty O, drummer from British India. We got a very special guest. We've got Mark Gable coming in next, but it's all about the Oils now, Gleeso.
Mate, what a great band. They are the epitome of what it's like to see a live act. I mean, I've seen them half a dozen times over the years. They've never disappointed. I mean, if Peter Garrett's not the greatest whirling dervish that Australian rock's ever produced, I don't know what is. And, you know, what a band. And the albums that they've had that, you know, some bands have one or two albums that are kind of must-haves in a playlist. And I reckon Oils have got four or five. And read about it. I just love this song. It's an absolute classic. I still remember the film clip first time I saw it. Big old Pete Garrett there in his suit with all the headlines and stuff over it, waving his arms around like he's just caught fire or something. But I absolutely love the Oils, one of the greatest live acts Australia's ever produced.
That's so funny you mentioned Midnight Oil, because once our band British India were touring, and they were obviously touring in Perth too, and we were staying in the same hotel, and I saw Peter Garrett and I went up and asked for a photo. I'm like, hey, can I just get a photo? And he was really nice. He said yes. But then this old Dutch lady who was obviously like on holiday walked past and she goes, oh, it's like before and after. So that's I'm destined to look like Peter Garrett. I hope I can dance like him one day, though.
Damn it, man. That is a cool thing to look like, I'm telling you. Sadly, I'll never look like him. I'll probably look more like David Crosby at some stage. No, as my hair keeps marching back.
Nah, mate, you look great.
Oztober.
This is the Oztober Lunch with Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets and the Angels. My name's Matty O from British India. We've been very excited about this interview. Absolutely love this guy, Mark Gable.
I remember in my first band, Aspect, we got to support the Choir Boys at the Arana Hotel just outside of Newcastle. And then once I'd started with the Jets, I reckon it was about 1990, we did a run of three or four dates with the Choir Boys around Western Sydney. Most memorable being the Fairfield RSL, where someone said to me, quick, you got to come and see this. And I went out the side of stage and Mark Gable was giving us huge raps to a massive crowd, and I'll be forever grateful for that. And he's right here now. Mark, how you going, mate?
Dave, how are you, sir? Appreciate everything you said, and I know you've got a lot to say. And I'll say this now, is that the Screaming Jets were the last great Australian band, rock and roll band, pub rock band, what have you. The Jets were just the last great rock and roll band that, you know, started with Billy Thorpe and went all the way through AC/DC. And, you know, it's great that it's still around doing its thing. And because of that, that's why you are who you are and why everybody loves you, is because you represent something in Australia that hopefully will never disappear.
Well, thank you very much. Well, I put it all down to the fact that we were lucky enough to start off playing with a lot of bands like yourselves, the Radiators, got some gigs with the Angels early on. It was an ethos that came about for you guys, obviously, in a much bigger setting. When you guys started off 79, there was still a huge tract to be forged through Australian rock and the pub rock scene, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah, well, it was, you know, and the 80s were the halcyon days of Australian live music or Australian music. I mean, it's when we broke all over the world. They were great days, you know, and look, they're never going to come back again. It's been replaced by something that I love equally as much, and that's, of course, the internet and YouTube. And I love how things that, you know, you wouldn't have heard of Sia if it hadn't been for YouTube.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have broken through the pubs.
Is that why bands like yourselves, like the Angels, like us, like Chisel, can still play because of what they did, what they laid down then?
It is, you know, and it's like that value of being able to get on stage and perform and entertain in a, dare I say it, in an old-fashioned way, you know, but it's not so old-fashioned that it's like, you know, 1940s music. It's still relevant because we can actually get on stage and we can still perform. We know how to perform.
Yeah.
And they're not used to that.
I always talk about, when I do get the chance to talk to someone of your ilk, the Alberts factor. What was that like for you guys when they said to you, oh, okay, we're going to take you into this stable, just about created Australian pub rock as we know it?
One of my all-time favourite bands was the Easy Beats, of course. George Young was probably the principal songwriter and the main driving force behind the Easy Beats. He was a rhythm guitarist. So I loved the Easy Beats. I loved the songs. I thought the songs were incredible. You know, I got the phone call, picked it up, we're going, bring, bring, I picked it up, and this voice said, hello. Is that Mark Gable? I go, yeah, it is. He goes, it's George Young here. I said, g'day, mate. How you going? He goes, look, I really like what you're getting together. You know, and said, come into the office and let's have a chat about it. And I just thought, I'm actually talking to George Young, right? He was one of my heroes, right? So you go into Albert's, right? And then you're in Studio One. And Studio One, of course, is where AC/DC, Rose Tattoo, Angels recorded all their stuff, you know, John Paul Young and what have you. And then on the wall is everybody's signatures. And it was a horrible studio, I got to tell you. I've been in Sun Studios in Memphis, right? And that's where Elvis and all those guys, Johnny Cash, they recorded. And that's hideous. It's like a poxy old office, right?
Right.
Studio One at Albert's, you know, it created all these great songs. And I just listened to it and used to go, this is just the worst sounding studio in the world, but it had a great vibe and a great history. And so to be in there and, you know, go up and whinge and complain about what was happening to George Young and Harry Vander and Ted Albert, all the stuff they would tell me was gold, every second of it. And even sitting in and listening to George and Harry writing songs for whoever and just sitting in the background making cups of tea and watching Brian Johnson sitting over there chatting, right? And Phil Rudd pressed up against the wall, not wanting to say hello to me. I don't know why. Amazing atmosphere. It was just incredible to be a part of that. But I tried my damnedest to destroy it, of course, by upsetting a hierarchy.
Yeah.
But once you got recording in the studio, you listen to the guitars and you go, bloody hell, that's why AC/DC sounds so good. It was just an incredible studio. And it's sad that the building's been knocked down now. I'm honoured and pleased that I was able to work there and record Choir Boy's first album and work with Vander and Young. It was just amazing.
It's the Oztober Lunch with Gleeso.
Oztober. I still remember 1983, CDs were a new thing.
Wow.
And my mum got me a CD player for my birthday. And the first CD that I ever owned was Cargo by Men at Work.
That's cool.
It is an absolute classic album. I couldn't have been happier when this band became the biggest band in the world at one stage.
Mm.
And I think Colin Hay, when they got a Grammy for the Song of the Year or whatever they won it for, was we're the men and we'll do it again. And they didn't do it again. But I think the big payoff was only a few years ago. Overkill became like a huge part of the show Scrubs. Did you ever watch Scrubs?
I did.
And Colin Hay was walking around strangely behind the Zach Braff, I think the guy's name is, the star, playing Overkill on an acoustic guitar in the streets of New York. And it was just so amazing to see Colin Hay, who'd started off playing pubs in Melbourne. I mean, they were one of those bands who played seven nights a week, maybe 10 shows a week, all around Melbourne. They were known as a great party band. And The fun that came through on their film clips was always infectious, and I just love the guy's voice. And if you ever get the chance to see Colin Hay on his own with an acoustic guitar, it is the most brilliant thing you'll ever see. He tells amazing stories. He has just, his voice is still absolutely intact.
Oztober. It's the Oztober Lunch with Screaming Jets and Angels frontman Dave Gleeson. It's been another fun show, Gleeson. We're going to do it all again tomorrow, man.
Yes, great to hear from Mark Gable. Full of life after all these years.
Isn't
still
he?
Rocking on. Absolutely one of the best. He's a true gentleman as well.
Absolutely.
Does a lot of radio himself, actually.
Yeah,
he does quite a bit of radio and tells some pretty juicy stories as well. Tomorrow, we're going to be catching up with John Butler. He is... He's a troubadour in the true sense of the word. If you look up troubadour, it'll tell you it's a bloke or a group of blokes who used to travel around the countryside bringing music and entertainment wherever they went. And if ever there was a self-starter in the Oz rock music industry, it's John Butler.
Fremantle's finest. I tell you what, Glee, so these guests you're getting in, how I'm going to have a massive come down after Oztober because this has just been a massive buzz.
We should do Oz November or something.
Yeah, we need to keep going, man. I think we need our own show. What do you reckon?
Bloody oath. Bring it on. Get the powers that be. Tell them we'll sign on the dotted line right now.
Done and done, man. Thanks for listening. It's the Oztober Lunch. We'll be back tomorrow with John Butler. Oztober.